Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Tes Vav, Halacha Yud Ches, Chapter 15, Law 18, and that's on page 286. Last time we met, we discussed if there was a courtyard that was not that large, that one would not be allowed to pour water into it that would carry over into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and what conditions would have to happen in order to make that happen, what kind of special demarcations were made with those pits and things like that. So it's a continuing on that theme is Halachas Yud Ches and Yud Tes, continues these ideas, but now we're talking about drain pipes and gutters. Biv sheshoivchin lemayim, a drain from upon which we water is poured. And they go under the earth. The Yotzim Shusarabim then end up in the public domain. So take a look in the picture on page 286.
So that's a covered drain.
Well,
subterranean.
Look at the picture. Yeah, a sewer, sort of like a sewer. Because it's in your rishus. You're pouring the water into it. It's going underneath the ground, going out into the public domain, and then coming out into and above into the public domain. It's a very important thing to add. Because if it's not going into the public domain, there's nothing to talk about. It's not going anywhere out.
It's draining into the
public domain. That would be fine. But here it's going to go back out into the public domain. And again, it's not directly, would appear, it's nothing directly biblically wrong again, because it's still a grumma. He's pouring it, and it's eventually getting in that direction, but there's rabbinic concerns for that. So anyway, if that's the case number one, and in case number two, now there happens to be a machlokes in the Gemara, Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim, and Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov says that as long as the drain goes underground, then, and it's an area that the area is at least four tvachim by four tvachim, there's no problem at all, because there's enough area within
four
the
amos.
Cubits are amos. Okay. Then there's area for it to drain in and of itself under the ground. So that would be all right. The rabbis, on the other hand, says you can't, because it's going to ultimately flow into the public domain. Rambam is going to paskin like the Chachamim, while others paskin like the other rabbis. Rambam is being strict over here. Anyway, that's case number one. And case number two, v'chein tzinor sheshoivchin al piv, a gutter that we pour at the mouth of the gutter, mayim water, v'heim nischolim, and they flow al akosel down the wall, v'yordim shesharabim, and then go into the shesharabim. Now, even though the length of the wall, it's going down the wall, 100 amas, or it's going underground, 100 amas, and there would be a lot of room perhaps for it to already drain out or whatever, still, usur, you're not allowed to do it. And the Rambam's holding like the Chachamim, usur lishpoich al pi abiv al pi atzinor, you can't pour on top of the drain or into the gutter. Why? Because the water is going with his power into Rishus HaRabim. And again, once we'd allowed this, then perhaps he would throw it directly into the Rishus HaRabim. So what do you have to do? Elashoyfe chutz labiv. You have to pour it away from the biv. And then vehem yordin labiv. And then they indirectly go into the biv. And that already would be indirect enough that it would be permitted to do that. That's that halacha. Now it's going to be kind of reverse going to come out now in your test. But when are we so concerned that he has to go to such extreme he can't even pour it into the gutter? Be mosacham in the summertime. Because in the summertime, people are going to see water's coming from his domain into the public domain, and people are going to think that he might be throwing it in straight or things like that. In the wintertime, then he can pour, and again, he doesn't have to worry about it. Because we know that the pipes flow a lot, especially in the wintertime. He wants the water to be absorbed in its place. And certainly people will not suspect, people know that their land's going to be very wet, and they're not going to think he purposely wanted to throw it out into the Rishus HaRabim. So it's the same thing, but the opposite way from the halachas before. Now, Hoya Shoifech al pi abiv v'hamayim yotzim l'karmelis. Now this, up to now, we're talking about going into Rishus HaRabim. But now, we're already going to be much more lenient scenario. What if from the beef, the water goes into a karmelis, which is only rabbinically usher to begin with, if one would carry it into the karmelis? Right. So now, harezem mutter, that's permitted. Even in the summertime, we did not make a decree on his strength in the Carmelis. It's sort of like a double rabbinic, as it were. Because the Carmelis already is the Rabbanan. Then we're afraid if he pours, that maybe he'll throw it later. That far we didn't go. So now let's take this a little further now. If we're dealing with a boat situation.
Now
a boat is a Rishus HaYochid. It's traveling in a Carmelis, which is a Rishus HaRabim. It's a Carmelis. So how do you get rid of the garbage from the boat?
Throw it over the side.
How do you get rid of the refuse? Can't throw it directly into it.
Because
it's going from Rishus HaYochid. So therefore he says, therefore he poured on the walls of the boat, the Hem Yordin Layam, and then they go into the water. Or if you want to create sophisticated drain systems or things like that, they can go into that. Because again, it's only on his koach, it's only on his power, and he's not directly doing it. Now, what are we looking for over here? Number 80. One second. So that's how they allow them to get rid of all their refuse that they have over there. So it's interesting, they bring down as well in the book over here, therefore, how about using your household toilets and drains?
Because it's going into the sewage system.
Okay. Why is there no problem?
Because it doesn't firstly go into the Rishus HaRabim. It goes
into the So number one, it doesn't go into the Rishus HaRabim. If all your refuse would somehow get onto Bathurst Street,
okay, that's
a
problem.
Then we could have some issues. But since it's going where? Where does it end up going into Lake Ontario? Where does it go at the end?
Eventually. Yeah. It goes through a system that eventually makes its way through.
So it goes into
a sewage treatment plant.
So that's already a Rishus HaYochid itself. Yeah. So it's going underground, and it's just from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid. So there's no problem. So that's why there's no issues, because it's not coming out, and therefore we have no problems flushing our toilets.
For the York region, the funnels all the way down is Rishus HaYochid?
Well, it's not Rishus HaRabim.
Why not?
It's not going into the street.
No.
It's not going into the street. Where is it
going?
Going
to a building. The street should have been that goes to a lake.
It's going into a Carmelite, sort of.
No, well, it's going underground. Underground is not a problem. Then what happens? It eventually goes where?
To a sewage treatment plant.
Yeah.
Okay, which is in a house. It's a building.
Yeah, it's in a building.
It's not a place where people traverse. It's Rishus HaYochid.
No, then it's a defined area.
It's Rishus HaYochid. You don't need an Eruv because they're going. So you don't need to have a neighbor for that. What?
And then it's Lake Ontario.
We're so glad it's
but then already they're getting into Lake Ontario. Yeah, you didn't send it to Lake. And even on Lake Ontario, that's only a Carmelis. Only if they were flushing it into the street, straight, if it went right into the street. Yeah. I don't know, what's with your septic tanks out in the cottage?
They drain. They don't go into the street. They stay there until they have to be drained once a year.
It goes right into the ground.
It stays in a holding pit in the ground.
Okay, so that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, but that's...
There's some people that have drainage into the lake, but again, that's a Carmelis.
It's only a Carmelis.
It's also illegal.
Not anymore there.
It's also illegal. But at least it's mutter, halachically.
It's all okay.
That's $1,000.
Okay, all right, so we're all... Okay. It says it reminds me of the time we were in Maple Lake. Not Maple Lake. We were in
Come on, that place.
This inn. Christie Mills. Christie Mills. So they didn't have toilet paper. This and that. So they had electronic flushing toilets.
Oh right.
So nobody in the public area they were electronic, but in the rooms they weren't electronic. So they noticed we weren't flushing the toilet. The whole shop was in the public areas. So one of the guys went to my wife and says, "We're very scared. Have you not flushed any toilets in the entire place? After the Sabbath, the place going to explode." Imagine 80 toilets plunging at
the same
time. But it's one of the questions about Tshuva asks, you know, at one time, you know, can you flush the toilet on Shabbos? You know, they don't understand the shilas here, but they're still thinking there are shilas.
We've been asked that question by secular people.
Yeah, can you flush the toilet? Really, it's not so pushed if it was
going
into the public domain. It would be a shtickle problem, but it's not. Yeah.
What about the downspout from the roof? Some people have it leading into the road. Now, I know it only happens if it's raining.
You're not pouring anything. That's the rain.
Unless you're on top of the roof pouring.
You're doing nothing. Yeah. Okay, let's move on. Chaf. Okay, now you're on a boat. Now we're looking at picture 287. Okay, you got a boat over here. So let's say you want to draw water from the sea into your boat. Lo yimale adam mayim min hayam. You cannot fill water from the sea into the boat. Why? V'hu besochat svina, and you're in the boat, because the water is a karmelis, the boat is reshus hayachid, and you can't carry from them. Elim kain, unless you do something. What can you do? Not exactly, but awesome.
We did with
almost awesome. Makom arba yotzei min hasvina yom. You make a plank that's 4x4 that goes across, as you see in the picture there, the little line that's coming out from the
boat. It's called walking the plank.
I was going to say,
the halachic walking the plank, right? So now that's considered an extension of the Rishus Hayochid, correct?
Right.
Now, what other principles do we have over here? We have the principle of what? Gurachis. Gurachis says the wall goes straight down. Goes straight down to the water. And since it's going straight down to the water, so therefore, if you make a little hole in that thing, you're allowed to draw water through it, because it's just coming straight from the water into, it's going in your reshus the whole time. It's part of the reshus hayyavid the whole time. However, there's some qualifications that have to be added. When do we say you have to go through all this elaborate process? When you're within 10. So when you're in 10, we have to deal with the other issues that were involved. But if it's higher than 10, if the plank is higher than 10, now it's already a lot easier, because you are now in a makom petur. And now you're going to be going from a karmelis through a makom petur into Rishus HaYochid, which is mutar. We learned before from Rishus HaRabim through a makom petur, Rishus HaYochid, Rambam doesn't allow to do that. But from a karmelis through a makom petur into a Rishus HaYochid, that's allowed. And therefore, you don't even need the extensive plank system.
So we're talking about 10 tefachim or 10?
Right, 10 tefachim. If it's higher than 10 tefachim.
Which most of them are going
to
be.
Where,
in
from
the
sea,
like
surface,
the sea surface?
The water
to the plank,
surface?
To the plank.
Or higher, higher than 10,
what
right,
is,
from
what
the water.
Waves that keep changing the...
So I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But in that case, so it's for sure allowed. So really, you know, really, it should be totally mutter. But just to make sure we don't make any mistakes, we make a hecker. Motzei ziz, you just put any kind of protrusion, calls you at all. Umamal, and then you can fill up. And then you're okay for sure. Sure, derech makom petur, because it's coming through a makom petur. Mamala, you're filling it. Venetzarach leziz elim shomek. You really don't need the ziz, the protrusion at all, but it's only as a recognition so you don't come to make a mistake and take it directly. But otherwise, it's fine.
So if you extended a pole with a bucket, would the pole be enough to...
No, it's got to be a permanent hecker. Okay, so you could be, if you got up the pole, it's permanently protruding out, and you're just letting, have a pulley or whatever is going down, then that would be fine. If it's more than 10 fachim above, then that is fine.
Which most of them
are. Okay, totally new topic now. Chaf Aleph. Hakeire b'sefer b'karmelis. Now in those days, their books were not like our books, they were scrolls. Okay? So you got this, you're reading in a karmelis, you know, let's say in a chair, you're sitting in a karmelis, and what happened is, Vinis Galgel, and one end of your sefer rolls all the way. Makes us a sefer. So some of your sefer rolls into the Rishus HaRabim and sits into that part of Rishus HaRabim. Now, umiktsasa biyada, and some of it is in your hand. Right? Now, what are the concerns over here? Now, technically, you could roll it back. There's not a problem there, because you're not really carrying it. But the problem is, what if you might rabbinically start to carry it? You might, you know, put it down, get up, and pick it up and carry it around, and there can be all other problems with that. So what are we going to do over here? So in these galgal lechutz la'arba amos, if it rolled 4 amas into Rishus HaRabim, where now there's serious concerns that you may be carrying this thing. So what do? Hoiv chaylaksav, turn it over, umeinicho, and leave it there and walk away. Because there's 2 min, now normally you're not allowed to turn Sifrei Kodesh upside down, but here, in order to not create a bigger bizoyan for it, and there's a lot of issues that perhaps a person would carry it, and here's the point. Zera, the decree is, Shema Yishame Kulam Yodo. What if he lets go off the other side? Then what happens? Miyado, V'yavrin Arbas, then it will go 4 amas. If he lets go of it, the whole thing will roll and end up on the other four amas, and it's going to be because of him that the thing went from the Rishus HaYochid, four amas into Rishus HaRabim. And it'll be considered as if he carried it. So therefore, we're particularly, when they say, get rid of it, just put it upside down and walk away from it. Okay?
When we talk about the pole that went, one end went and one stayed in place, like, I mean, part of it is still in the Carmelis.
But then the whole thing will end. But if he lets go, the whole thing will end up in the Rishus HaRabim.
Well, why would he let go?
What if he does? He doesn't plan on it. But it slips out of his hand. It gets out of his hand.
But then we could say, don't read a book in the Carmelis at all, because you could drop it and it could
roll. Well, usually that doesn't drop and roll. There's only so far we're going to rabbinically prohibit people. But if it does happen, then you got to get away from it and leave it away.
What about the cover of the safer?
But Chil Shabbos is worse. You're right. So for a covenant safer, we turn it upside down. And it's an unusual situation. There's not a lot of healthy options over here. We're afraid you might do Chil Shabbos over here. So Chil Shabbos.
Facing the ground,
so you turn it upside. That's the same thing, but it's safer, because the other way, it's more embarrassing. It's wide open. Mm. The letters are open. Neither one is a very great situation, but it's the lesser of two evils.
He has to go to the public domain and turn that part of the scroll.
He just turns it all over. Turn it all over. It will flip over.
At the other end.
You got one scroll, you flip it over, so unless you go to the other end and flip the other end over, and then he's not going to flip over by turning off the scroll in the other domain.
I don't know.
It will rip.
I don't know. Give it a flip. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
It's a very bizarre.
We're not going to run into that situation.
Obviously, it happened. You wouldn't put it here if it didn't happen.
Well, this was because all books were in scrolls at that time, Ron. Very few books are in scrolls at the present time.
Okay.
Unless you're reading a Megillah in them. Okay.
Let's go on. Nisgalga letoch arb amas. What if it's within four amas? Then there's no problem of Chil Shabbos anyway. So goyle lo yeser, just roll it back to you. V'chem nisgalga shus ha-yochid. What if it rolls into shus ha-yochid? Then there's less problem of four amas at all. So go, let's roll it back as well. Even if it rolls more than four amas, because there's no issur d'oraisa, it can never happen. It's not a question of going four amas and Rishus HaYochid, it's not a problem, so you can just roll it back. What if Hoya Kerb Rishus HaYochid and Yisgal Rishus HaRabim? What if now he was reading Rishus HaYochid and it's going Rishus HaRabim? Now we got much more serious problems. Im Nachba rests in Rishus HaRabim, Hoyif Chal Ksav, turn it upside down. But what if, in Lon Nach, what if it rolled out of your hand, but it didn't rest on the other side, didn't touch the ground, and Rishus HaRabim, Hayatol Bavir, was only suspended in the air, Rishus HaRabim, Vulgilar, didn't touch the earth, Goyleloi Etzlo, you can roll it back, but that's only if what? If it didn't go down to within three tvachim of the ground, because that's Lavud, be considered to touch the ground already. But if it didn't touch the ground already, it was no hanocha, so you could roll it back, and then it's not a problem. And the final halacha in Chaf Beis, Hamavir Kotz, you have thorns in a Rishus HaRabim, and they could damage people. So you want to remove the coats, you want to take the thorn out of the Rishus HaRabim. So Amavir Kotz Kidei Shelo Yizuka B'Rabim. If you want to move away a thorn, so the public shouldn't be harmed from it. So now the halacha is like this: Im Hayir Rishus HaRabim. If the thorn was in Rishus HaRabim, and there's an Issur D'oraisa to carry thorns in Rishus HaRabim for Amos. So what do? Molicho Pachas Pachas Me'Arba Amos. You move it less than four Amos at a time until you get it out and out of the way from people. And that way you haven't transgressed anything. And normally we don't let you carry things pachas, pachas, arba amas. But here someone might get hurt, so we allow that. Ve'im hayav karmelis. What if it wasn't a karmelis, which is only rabbinically usher to begin with? In that case, molicho kedarka, we allow the person to take it normally, meaning in one shot you can take it through the karmelis, even more than four amas. And that's not a problem, because the rabbis never would make the decree not to carry in a karmelis where somebody could get damaged. Afilu mea ama. If you have to carry mea ama, 100 ama to get it out of the way, there's no requirement of pachas pachas dalad amas. What?
What's the chiddush here?
What do you mean, what's the chiddush?
What's he saying? Because we know that we can carry
lachatchila, you don't carry pachas pachas dalad amas. You just stam don't take something and go pachas pachas dalad amas, and it's just a rabbi. Well, you might go more than four amas. Lachatchila, you don't do that.
No, it's pretty evident.
It's all bidiyevit. You're putter if you carry less than farmers. This is mutar, lichatchila.
But you're probably obligated to do it to protect.
Yes, okay, that could be also, but mutar lichatchila to move it pachas pachas. Normally we wouldn't let you carry pachas amos. What if you carry dalad amos? We would not let you do that. But if you did it, it's potur, but not mutar. But here, since it's a thorn, we say it's mutar. But in a karmelis, where it's only rabbinically usher anyway, then for sure it's mutar. What if, God forbid, somebody dies and the body is getting very smelly and it's in the house? And it's causing a great embarrassment, and people can't tolerate the smell. It's a very disgusting thing. So there's two things going on over here. The mace is embarrassed by its, you know, bad state in front of people. And B, other people can't stand what's going on in them. So there's an issue now of kavod abrius, giving honor to humanity. And kavod abrius can push off certain negative prohibitions that exist. And therefore, especially if they're rabbinic prohibitions. So therefore, what's the issue over here? So mutzien also mishus hayachid lekarmelis. You can move it from a rishus. Let's say it's in a house. You can take the body out of the house and put it in a karmelis. Let's say the backyard. Let's say the backyard that doesn't have a fence, that's not a rishus hayachid, it's probably a karmelis. So you could take it into the backyard. If that, then the house won't smell anymore and the body will be away from people. However, it doesn't seem that that would be allowed into Rishus HaYochid, because that would be a biblical violation, and then we wouldn't be allowed to do that.
I have a question on that. I mean, is it going on both being respectful to the body and the smell?
It's covered up abrius both ways.
The reason I ask is because, for example, if there's like a dead animal that's smelling for the people, can you remove it just on that basis?
Probably, if it's smelling and things like that, probably. Now, last halacha, hayared lirchots bayom. If somebody's going to wash himself in the ocean or in the sea, bathing in the sea, which is already a problem, but he did it anyway. Okay, I mean, he did it. We're not saying yored. We're not saying a person does. It says hayared. If a guy went into the water, okay. Now,
he fell in.
Yeah. Okay. Let's say he fell in. Let's judge him favorably. Okay.
Well, he doesn't bathe.
Yeah, but it says. Okay, whatever. Anyway, but the issue now is, and he doesn't have any, he has no clothes on.
No clothes.
He's dumping water over the side of the ship.
You know, let's say, for example, okay, I'll give you a case. Let's say he was very big istinus.
Yeah, big istinus.
A big, delicate person, very hot, very overweight, and the doctors say it's very important that he cool off in the water, so there'd be a leniency perhaps to do that, okay? So then, because the issue is only rabbinic issues, but not really biblically. Biblically, you could go into the water. There's nothing wrong with it. So it's rabbinic issue. Let's craft the case where rabbinically he'd be allowed to go. But now the problem is you're going out of the water. So now, and you're going out from the Atlantic Ocean, which is a karmelis, yeah? And now you're going onto the beach, which is Rishus Harabim. So what do you got to do, Kisho Oila? When you come out of the water, Minage Vasva, you have to dry yourself very thoroughly, but not too thoroughly to squeeze anything out. But you have to dry yourself. Why do you have to dry yourself? And they have to hope there's a towel right over there. So Shema Yavir Maim Sholavar Amas Karmelis. Maybe you'll move the water for Amas. Oh, he's saying even in a Karmelis. Next to the ocean is a Karmelis. You'll be carrying water for Amas in the Karmelis. So then the rabbis, the comments just ask a simple question. So how is that different than, let's say, it rains on a person in public domain?
Ah.
So the issue is when it's raining, to be carrying the rain in the domain. So number one, if you're coming out of the water, you probably have a lot more water on you than when it rains on you, A. And B, the obvious answer is, there's nothing you can do about it if it's raining.
Here, you put the water on
you went into the sea is one thing, but to protect yourself from a sudden rain, obviously, that's an issue. But on the other hand, barring that, it really is a problem when you are really soaking with water. Let's say in a downpour, you are really carrying water.
So
in
a
karmelis.
1, 2, 3, stop. 1, 2, 3, stop.
No, but you should have good raincoats to make sure.
Good raincoats. Yeah. Relates to that last point and the very first thing. If a thorn sticks to you as you're walking along, it sticks to your coat.
Yes, you're not planning on carrying it.
Do you have to remove it, or do you keep walking with it on you? Or is that... It's not part of your clothing anymore.
It's not like the usual way to carry things.
No.
So that's
it's definitely a shinui. There's definitely a shinui in the way you're carrying it.
You don't want it either, but that's not the point.
The only issue is if you don't have an air, it's just a Rabim. Maybe you should...
Bad from something,
it's a good question. I have to think about
that. I thought about it before, and I wasn't going to ask it, it seemed off topic, and then we talked about carrying water.
It's a good question, because the truth is, it's not really part of your garments.
No, but it's not a normal way of carrying things, but what, either.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't.
So it's not an issue.
And it wasn't a lachatchila that you wanted it on your pants. I mean, it got off by accident.
Okay, it's a good shiloh. Yeah. Okay. All right, Shkai. Rabbi Hanani ben Akasha, Moshe Kodesh Baruch Hu, Zakasel, here with the Tzomitzish Namra, and then Chavetz Man, Sivko, Yagil, Torah, V'Yadir.